Today on Real Radio.
At that time, when these things are going on, Europe will once again be resurrected, by the way, in a demonic sense, energized. It will be comprised of a godless government of nations that will ultimately produce a representative. And by the way, hasn't God warned us with history over and over again? How many times has Europe tried to produce a global despot, a global leader? Interesting, if you know European history. It's going to happen again. This guy, though, will be somewhat successful because the Bible says Satan will dwell within him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're taking a look at chapter 11, a passage that is quite arguably among the most complex of all Scripture, Old or New Testament. It's a study called God's Final Witness to the World. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And all of this deals with God's salvation, yes, tribulation period, certainly, the end time events of those great things that will come upon the earth, yes, the wrath of God, truly, and the judgment of God. But also, and I love to insert this, please listen, in the midst of all of this chagrin and all of these heavy times coming upon the earth, if you've been listening, there is a common thread that I've been laying into every message since we got into this tough stuff. And that is, if you are a Christian today, you will not experience the great tribulation period. The Bible makes it clear you will be gone from here. And so when we read these things and study these things, we don't have to be swallowed up with depression or be so overcome with these horrific things. The truth of the matter is, these things are awaiting an unbelieving world. And this world that is going to be judged by God, the reason why God brings this judgment is because they have rejected Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. Listen, you want to hear some good news real quick this morning? Where was our sin judged? Anybody, if you're a Christian, where was it judged? On the cross. The Bible says, that being so, there is no judgment left to us any longer. But the tribulation period is a time of judgment upon earth for those who have rejected Christ and his cross. So you need to make a fundamental decision this morning. Will you experience these days that are coming of judgment? Or will you take advantage of the opportunity that Christ has given you, that he died on the cross for our sins, taking upon himself our judgment? Now, I don't know about you, but that is a good deal. God gives a final witness and a warning. We saw last time, beginning in verse 1, that God's final witness was a very specific warning of events. He said, then I was given, John says, a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood and said, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out, verse 2, the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, or it is an area defiled, unacceptable to God. And they will tread the holy city, that's Jerusalem, under the foot for 42 months. 42 months. Bible students, we'll get into the meaning of that a little bit more in a minute. But we saw last time that there'll be some specific warnings in the days and age of the approaching coming of Christ. But before that, there's going to be some tremendous events. And one of those things that we looked at, remember last time, was the coming temple. There's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem. We know that because the Apostle Paul said so. The prophets in the Old Testament said so. Jesus said so. There is a coming temple to Jerusalem. And that's an amazing thing. We saw you video, or not video, but still clips of the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Then just north of the Dome of the Rock is a vacant area that can easily house the square footage, the site plan of Solomon's temple, if you were to measure it that way. No problem in size. And there the scripture says in the Old and New Testament that there's going to be a dividing wall. And I found that very interesting to find that in the Bible that there's going to be a dividing wall between the area of the Gentiles that is defiled and the area where the temple will be built during the tribulation period. And that outer area, referred to as the area of the Gentiles, is an abomination to God. It's not acceptable to him. It's an area that is defiled. And we asked the question last time, if a temple is going to be built in Jerusalem, as they, by the way, they already have the plans for, they've already been assembling people who have the last names of Levi or Levi or Cohen or the Kohathites. By the way, there are those, I'm not joking when I say this, by the way, names like Lewis. Those last names in the Jewish world can be traced back to the Levitical priesthood. I'm not joking when I say Lewinsky. That name can be traced back to the priesthood. Israel is assembling those, the best they can tell, that go back, the Cohens, the Lewises, Lewinskys, that background of the Levitical priesthood, and they're being instructed in priestly operations. They have made many of the implements for the coming temple. By the way, they're under lock and key because some of them are made out of pure gold, pure silver, solid brass, and some of these great implements, they've already been produced. And so Israel is excited about a coming day when they can have a temple. And we know this, that God is giving warning to the world that his coming is near and that the age of the Antichrist is coming, because there's already a lot of temple talk going on. A temple will be coming to Jerusalem. John says that he was given information by this announcing messenger, which again, I believe, I personally believe that it's Christ, and I'll give you more reasons why in a moment, that the information is to measure the temple of God, to measure the altar, and to measure those who worship. Now, I don't know about that, how that's going to pan out. Can you imagine? We live in a modern culture, as you can tell. Tragically, information travels so quickly, where this week, again, tragically, you can log on and view yet again another beheading. Isn't that sick? Pathetic. It's going to increase. I went online this last week, and Saudi Arabia, went to an Arab paper out of Saudi Arabia, and they announced that beheading is on the rise in Saudi Arabia. I got news for you. Beheading is on the rise around the world. Pretty twisted. Sick. My point is this. Information travels around the world now in a flash. How will this look? When we talk about a temple being built in Jerusalem, this is hot news. You guys, if anything happens, if somebody lights firecrackers on the Temple Mount, it makes national, international news. It's the most hotly contended piece of real estate on the planet. There's going to come a time when something happens on the Temple Mount, something happens in Israel, something happens in Europe, whereby Israel will be granted the free passage to erect a temple in Jerusalem. And I wondered how that's going to look. International news at light speed? Will it be things like this? We interrupt this broadcast. You know, how many of you have heard that? You know, in times past in history, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special report. And there's a flash, right? There's a bulletin. I have a wonderful collection of CDs, and that's what it's entitled. I should have brought it this morning. It's entitled, We Interrupt This Broadcast. It brings chills to you. For example, it's all of the live recordings over the last 40 to 50 years of We Interrupt This Broadcast. Hawaii has just been attacked, and you can hear it. It's just eerie. We Interrupt This Broadcast. The President of the United States has just been shot. That's one of those things. I remember where I was at that day. There's going to be an announcement. It will come. You can bank on it. When someday it's going to be said, we interrupt this broadcast. And what's that going to sound like? Well, we know what that announcement's going to contain. Things like this. Keep it in mind. Jot it down. By the way, get your pen ready. If you want to study this later, get your pen ready. I'm going to give you scriptures, chapter scriptures, and you can confirm what I'm about to say. Quite possibly, we interrupt this broadcast. In the not-too-distant future, things like this will be said. The Israeli government will agree to sign a 7-year United Nations peace resolution that will allow them to build a temple in Jerusalem atop the Temple Mount. How do we know that? Daniel chapter 9. That's how we know that. Matthew chapter 24. That's how we know that. Luke chapter 21. Mark's Gospel. Chapter 13. This agreement will allow certain rights and privileges also to the Muslim people to practice their ancient pagan worship system of ancient Babylon, by the way, the worship of the moon god. What's going to take place on the Temple Mount will be a coexisting worship system of the Jewish temple and the Dome of the Rock mosque with the crescent moon on top of it to worship the ancient Babylonian moon god. Now, they don't know his name or they don't reference his name, but in Arabic, they just call him God because they don't know his name. They call him God, and in Arabic, that name, or not the name, the title, it's not a name, the title in Arabic is God. Allah is God in Arabic. That's going to take place there. That will happen. That's going to go on. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 11. We'll be studying more in this chapter in weeks ahead. Divided yet united. The Temple Mount will be. The Jews and Muslims will worship atop God's holy mountain in Jerusalem and in what will become a global religious system that, according to the Bible, will offend the God of heaven. Revelation 13, Daniel chapters 2 and 3 says so. The Bible warns that there will be a global church of lost souls during that period of time, a one world church that will have an outward appearance of a type of Christianity, but will be anything but Orthodox Christian. The Apostle Paul said, watch out, when that so-called church comes, it will have the appearance of a church, but deny the power of God thereof. A very dangerous time. Luke 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Matthew chapter 7, warns about this coming time. Also, that there will be a global economic system, a commerce system. The Bible says that will be created, that will be a cashless society. Don't you love? I love saying that. In fact, if you don't believe in the Bible, can I rub this in your nose a little bit? I'm sorry, it's just too accurate. The Bible says in the last days, thousands and thousands of years ago, that the world before Christ comes back will be a cashless society. Hey, you know what? I didn't stunt this. This is not a joke. Yeah, I got a bunch of receipts here, but I live in a cashless society. I have teenage daughters. Pretty pathetic, isn't it? But don't worry. I have In-N-Out Burger Bucks on my desk. I'm okay. I'm all right. But the Bible says near the end of human history as we know it, it'll be a cashless society globally. Listen to this. That transactions will be done electronically, numerically, through transfers, demanding a prefix. That prefix will be a certain number. And that prefix, and I've said this before and people freak out about it, before you write me and say, go and study it before you write me about it, because I've already done all this, go study and find out on a barcode what number appears on the outside, middle, and on the outside, left side, right side, directly in the middle of a barcode. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you what the number was, but I heard everybody say the number. It just happens to be a number. You can find it in the Bible. Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 13. Interesting, huh? Think about it. What's that all about? Harriet, did you hear what he just said? Pull out a barcode. Oh, yeah, it's there. In fact, this is a Christian book, and there it is. What's the point? Numerically, around the world, the Bible says there's going to come a time when there'll be a prefix issued to the world, and you will have to receive that prefix before you use any other numbers. So if your social security number, for example, is 123, 21123 4, then apparently, according to the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, this global despot, this financial political genius, is going to issue a prefix to that number, and that prefix will be the number 666. Well, where's that in the Bible? Well, my friend, you can read all about that in Daniel chapter 8, Revelation 13, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and 1 John chapter 2, At that time, when these things are going on, Europe will once again be resurrected, by the way, in a demonic sense, energized. It will be comprised of a godless government of nations that will ultimately produce a representative. And by the way, hasn't God warned us with history over and over again? How many times has Europe tried to produce a global despot, a global leader? Interesting, if you know European history. It's going to happen again. This guy, though, will be somewhat successful because the Bible says Satan will dwell within him. And this man will swoon the world into a false peace and a false hope. And you can read about this guy. He's found, and by the way, I'm only going to give you several chapters. Daniel chapter 7, you can read all about him. Revelation chapter 12, Daniel chapter 8, and Daniel chapter 11. Paul, the apostle, told us of this time that's coming, that is here spoken of in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, he says, "For when they say peace and safety," that's Israel, "there's going to come a time when Israel is going to say peace and safety. All is well with us now. Finally, look, we got our temple. We're dwelling at peace with our neighbors who are against us." Paul says, "But then at that time, sudden destruction will come upon them as a woman labors with her pregnancy, and they shall not escape." Israel will believe that they're in a time of safety, and it will not be a time of safety. This time of the great tribulation period, Jesus warned us about, and he said, "Let him who is on his housetop not go down into his house to take anything out of it, but let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe unto them who are pregnant in those days and nursing babies in those days, and pray that your escape is not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved upon the earth." But, and he's speaking to Israel, "but to for the elect's sake, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And so the Bible warns us. Now, verse 2, this very specific warning involves these events, that there's a coming deception to the nation of Israel. He says, "But leave the court, which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it is given unto the Gentiles." This, again, coming leader is going to understand, and I don't want to belabor this. We touched on it last time. People, keep this in mind. As long as there is a Muslim presence on the Temple Mount, and there is, and the Jews desiring to build a temple, and that's true, this coming world leader will strike a deal. And you got to stop and think for a minute. Just imagine, what kind of a deal will that have to be with the UN, with the European Union, with the United States, all of the Arab nations around? Think about it. How's this going to happen? Can George Bush pull it off? No. Could Bill Clinton pull it off? No, although he's on the... Never mind. I was not going to. Now he's on, you know, he's going to be on TV tonight to tell us what he would do about Iraq. Okay. Could Tony Blair pull it off? Could the Queen of England pull it off? No one's been able to pull it off. My friend, no one's going to pull it off. It's going to take Satan himself dwelling inside of a human being to strike a demonic deal. That the Bible says, by the way, is a 7-year peace treaty. And the engineer of this thing will be Satan, but he's going to pull it off by dwelling inside of a human being. A man that we refer to as the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. The Old Testament calls him the beast. An amazing man. Amazing because people are going to be deceived by his very presence. He's going to bring incredible prosperity to the world. He's going to bring all kinds of peace. He's going to be the master politician like this world has never seen. And you know what? This world is longing for a politician to pull them out of their woes. And by Satan's power, there's going to be this tremendous deception brought upon not only the world, but Israel specifically. And they're going to think they dwell in peace, in safety. It's a tragic time. There will come a time when apparently human government will reign, but that's not what's going to happen. It says that the Gentiles, that is the non-believing world, will tread the holy city of Jerusalem underfoot for 42 months. Luke chapter 21 verse 24 says, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword," Jesus said about this time, "and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled under the foot of the Gentiles until the completion of the Gentiles is fulfilled." It's an amazing thing. People, there is still time that must take place. And we know this, that time is a 7-year period until the fulfillment of the Gentiles is completed. There will be an end of human government as we know it. The Bible says Jesus Christ will return in the second coming. And what's one of the aspects of his return? Not only to establish his kingdom, but to put an end to human government. Human government as we know it will end. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." This is awesome. If you're a careful Bible reader, Yahweh Adonai, the Lord, is going to come back to earth. Not only that, it says his foot's going to touch the Mount of Olives. God's going to come back to earth and touch the Mount of Olives. Interesting, when you read the New Testament, it says, yes, the Lord is going to come back, and his name is Jesus, and his foot is going to touch the Mount of Olives. His foot will touch the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in two from the east unto the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half to the south. Daniel 2:34. I love this verse. Daniel 2:34. Mark it down in Revelation 11. Daniel 2:34 speaks about the very time that Revelation 11 is speaking to us about. Daniel 2 corresponds with Daniel 11. And remember when Jesus says, "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone." Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? Listen to this. "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone." Daniel 2, verse 34, in Daniel's vision, it was explained to him that, "Daniel, while you watched, a stone was cut without human hands." And the Bible there will tell you it came from heaven, which struck the image of the beast, or the image of this icon, in its feet of iron and clay, and the stone broke it into pieces. Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to any other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all the earthly kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." That is a reference to the return of Christ in Daniel chapter 2. A time when human government will cease.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called God's Final Witness to the World. It's taken from Revelation chapter 11. In fact, this is another one of our mini-series as we journey through the book of Revelation. That means there's a lot more to come, so join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue. Meanwhile, we invite you to get in touch and let us know how Real Radio is affecting your life. You can either call, click, or write, whichever you prefer. If you'd like to do it online, simply visit www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says "Send us a message." You can also read other people's encouraging messages to us. Simply click the tab that says "Reaction." That's www.realradioactive.org. Or you can send us a letter to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.